This podcast is brought to you by the film Ezra from Bleecker Street, directed by Tony Goldwyn. Oh, he's hot. With an incredible ensemble that includes Robert De Niro, Bobby Cannavale, and Whoopi Goldberg. Ezra is a funny and endearing story about Max, a divorced father struggling to co-parent his autistic son, Ezra. When faced with difficult decisions about the future, they embark on a cross-country road trip that has a transcendent impact on both their lives. Deadline calls Ezra a touching testament to the power of love. In theaters, May 31st.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results, made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional-grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between Lisa and West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is expertly crafted from natural latex, natural wool, and certified safe foams to elevate your sleep sanctuary and support a greener tomorrow. Plus, every purchase helps fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Visit lisa.com/Chelsea to learn more. That's LEESA.com/Chelsea. Hi, everyone. Chelsea here. We should be talking much more about women's hair loss. There are many reasons that hair loss can happen in women, from a number of medical conditions like anemia all the way to transitions like pregnancy or menopause. And that's where Zion Health comes in. They are hair loss experts who make getting treatment easy and accessible with both medicated and non-medicated options available. Go to xyonhealth.com to get started.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X, celebrating pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women, creating sustainable size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection, obsessively fit tested for all day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit TomboyX.com.
Okay, hi.
Hello, Chelsea.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. It's a bright, beautiful day today here in Los Angeles.
Yeah, I had a good recovery from my week of shows. I slept for 13 hours from Sunday to Monday.
That's
and then
wonderful.
Monday I went to bed at 9 with Joe. I like when he goes to sleep early, too.
Oh.
And we just I just catch my sleep during the week.
Mm-hmm. You know, I actually, this is going to sound so LA, but I had a meeting with a shaman a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, I love a shaman.
Yes. And as he did basically like a body scan and pulled cards, like these animal cards for each part of my body. And one thing he told me was, he asked when I'm sleeping. He told me it's kind of later in the night to, you know, maybe a little later in the morning than maybe like someone with kids or something. But he told me I need to start going to bed at 9 p.m. and waking up at 5 or 6, he said, the time between 9 and midnight is when your body is in healing mode. So he said, you're not allowing your body to heal from midnight on. It's like preparing for the next day.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So it kind of blew my mind a little bit. I'm like, maybe I should try this.
I love going to bed at 9 o'clock. I mean, nothing gives me more pleasure than knowing. Because then I'm so energized in the morning and I'm so clear. I love it. I love sleep. I can't tell you how much I love sleep. I just love it.
Are you a good sleeper?
Yeah. I mean, I wake up a lot, so that's annoying. But if I don't drink, I can have a really good night's sleep. I mean, I pee. I have to pee like twice a night. So that's annoying. I'm sure that will only get worse as time goes on. But Joe doesn't get up to pee in the middle of the night. I envy him for that.
My husband will drink like a liter of water right before bed. And then he has to get up. I'm like, well, there's a reason for this.
Yeah. Hello. What?
We understand why. But he just gets very thirsty. He's very thirsty.
Well, at least I guess he's thirsty while he's sleeping, which is an unusual phenomenon, right?
Yeah.
I have shows coming up tomorrow night. I am in Springfield, Massachusetts. That's June 17th. And June 18th, I am in Windsor, Ontario at Caesars Windsor, the Coliseum. And I'm coming to Vancouver and Calgary and Honolulu and Kahulu, Hawaii. That's on Maui. Honolulu and Maui. I will be there July 1st and July 3rd, and I will have my lover with me there.
Ooh.
So I know how much Hawaiians love that.
Excellent. I do have an update for us, Chelsea.
What is it?
This is from, do you remember the woman who called in who her daughter heard her having sex and was very upset?
Yes.
Well, the daughter wrote in. I'm very excited about it. The subject line is 20-year-old daughter overhearing mother having sex. I am the daughter. Dear Chelsea, she says, just listen to the episode Comics Dating Comics, in which I was featured in a story my mother, quote, Jenny, wrote in.
I love this. I love this. This is the story of my life, is
yes.
talking about someone who I don't think is ever going to listen to the platform I'm on and finding out within 30 seconds.
Yes. She said, I'm not looking for any sort of public update, but I thought I'd fill you guys in case you were curious. I don't live with my mom, but was home visiting from college for one night. That's the night she chose to have someone over. So surely it was intentional. I also didn't call her perverted or a slut. But I did say I felt disgusted because, well, I did. This is the third or fourth time I've experienced her doing this, and after having many conversations, I was quite honestly over it, which resulted in me not speaking to her for a few months. Once I was able to get the image somewhat out of my head, I was ready to speak again. I love my mom, and she's made me a very strong woman who's unashamed of my sexuality. I also think she's a badass and a beautiful woman who should be able to bang every man on the block. However, I'd like it if our sex lives could be kept separate. I love the podcast and listen to every episode. I have no clue how I missed this episode until now. Probably because I wasn't talking to my mom, LOL. However, we're all good now, and although our relationship won't be quite the same, it is somewhat back to normal. I emailed her asking if it was okay to share this. She said, sure, I'll look forward to listening. I wanted to add that my mom offered me tickets to Chelsea's show in Jacksonville, and it was definitely the icebreaker we needed. Maybe a subtle bribe, but also there was no point in staying angry since it all worked out. We loved the show. Thanks, the profane daughter.
Wow. I love that.
I know. What a cutie.
Yeah. I mean, that is fucked up. Like, if your mom saves the one night for when you're home, but how does the daughter know that it's that one night? That she doesn't fuck all the time, you know what I mean? And that's just, like, her daughter's there. It's like, that can't be too much of an inconvenience.
Yeah,
I agree with her, though. There's no reason to have sex while your daughter's home.
Yeah.
If you can't take a couple nights off of fucking, like, come on.
Do a popcorn and a movie night with
your
daughter.
Yeah. Put a plug in it or something. Jeez, but I'm glad they're all back together. That sounds nice.
Yeah, exactly. Well, before we get to all the fun stuff, we'll take a quick break.
Okay, sounds good. We'll be right back.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X. We just dropped our Pride 24 collection. Queer founded, queer run, and creating size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. So you feel comfortable in your own skin. Visit TomboyX.com to shop.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabrielle Collins, and this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Colin Bridgerton has returned from his travels abroad. Is betrothal written in the stars for the eligible bachelor? Meanwhile, the ton is reverberating with speculation of who holds Lady Whistledown's pen. We're discussing it all. I sit down with Nicola Coughlan, Luke Newton, Shonda Rhimes, and more to offer an exclusive peek behind the scenes of each episode of the new season. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then, fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season 1, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. with the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season one, like my producer, Anna.
Oh, my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And, of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, the story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, so we have a very good friend of mine on the podcast today. She's an author. She's a memoirist. She's got a new book coming out that I'm really excited about. It's called City of Likes. She also has a podcast. Joe and I were her very first guests on her podcast. It's called Third Wheel. We tell our love story on that podcast. Oh, and City of Likes is already being adapted into a TV show with Diablo Cody attached. So that's another person that I like a lot that I'm friends with. I'm friends with a lot of people that I do not like, but I'm also friends with a lot of people that I do like. That's not true. I'm not friends with anyone I don't like. I don't have time for that kind of those kinds of shenanigans.
No.
But her name is Jenny Molin.
Hello.
Hi. Are you on?
Hi.
Hi, Sid Biggs.
I'm Sid Biggs today.
I'm in London.
Oh, you're in London?
Yeah.
Oh, my
it's
God.
It's later for her. It's 7 o'clock, right?
I don't even know anymore. I took an Ambien yesterday, and I've just been like...
I'm on an Ambien now, Jenny, so don't worry.
Fabulous. I love it.
I always like to take an Ambien or a muscle relaxer right before I get started. I didn't know you were going to London. I just had, Catherine, I just had dinner with Jenny and Jason in the city the other night.
Fabulous.
Joe, Jenny, and because we're a quartet now, the four of us. They're so excited.
We wore matching outfits.
Oh, yeah. We all wore khaki. We all, yeah. And they're so excited that I actually have a real boyfriend that people like. You know, people just are so psyched about it. And then we saw Sarah Silverman's play The Bedwetter.
Yes. Yeah. Which I love.
Yeah, it was great. There's this girl in it who's awesome. The girl that plays Sarah Silverman as a young girl. She was really awesome.
Amazing.
And we had a lot of book talk because Jenny, who is a really good friend of mine, has a new book coming out, which she has been toiling away on in the same vein as, you know, Ernest Hemingway, pretty much. She was working on this book for so long and so fiercely that it is really something to celebrate that it has been printed and is coming out on June 14th.
Yes. Yes.
June 14th, everybody. It's called City of Likes.
So long that last time Chelsea sent me her book, the inscription said, here's my book. Where the fuck is yours? Because it's been so long. It literally took forever. This one, it's like a pregnancy that won't end.
Yeah, that's a really long pregnancy. So talk to us a little bit. Tell our listeners about the book, because I would describe it as a great commentary on modern society, present day society, and the embarrassing nature we all have towards social media.
Yeah, it definitely takes swipes at a lot of these influencers that, you know, we either follow, we hate follow, or we just like still have them in our feed. Like we don't know how to get rid of them. We don't know how to like pull away. And it really gets into this culture that we're living in right now, where we are so addicted to this need for external validation. And I really wanted to write a book that dealt with the stuff that I was seeing in Manhattan, where, you know, when I got to New York, I felt like, in LA, the currency is fame. So you're only as good as the last pilot you shot. Like that's the only reason people only talk to you if you're like on a billboard or a TV show. When I got to New York, it was interesting though, because I sort of came with these strings attached. I had this following of women between the ages of like 18 to 25 with a little bit of buying power and these influencers, but also brands. And it's not really ladies who lunch anymore. It's ladies who launch. So they all have like their own companies. Whether they're fake companies or real doesn't really matter. But I was embraced by them and I was brought into this weird underground sort of society where it was like mommy supper clubs, power mama supper clubs, and like weddings for dogs and fashion week crazy, these parties that you would just like not believe were real. And a friend of mine said, Jenny, you can't write another memoir right now. You need to write about what's actually happening to you. And what I was seeing was just this disparity between how we were like curating motherhood and how we were presenting it to sort of our fans and friends and followers. And then like what was really going on. And that just kind of haunted me. And whether I wanted to write a memoir or not, I knew I will be driven out of New York City if I don't call this book fiction. So that's where we're starting off, guys.
That's funny. I mean, how would you describe your relationship with social media?
I would say that before the pandemic, it was like a cigarette that I would hide from my children, the other woman in my marriage. You know, it was something that I was doing that I knew I shouldn't be doing as much as of it as I was doing. I didn't really want to admit it to myself or my family. And then once the pandemic hit and we were just stuck in a house together, nobody could go anywhere. It was like, guys, this is the real me. What's happening? Are we going to live or die? You know, refresh every 10 fucking seconds. No, but I grapple with it all the time. It's when you have kids, you're just riddled with guilt in general. And all you kind of sit there wondering is, how am I going to fuck them up? And for me, it always comes back to, I'm just so scared that one day my kids are going to look at me and say, like, why did you choose that stranger on the phone over like the people that were sitting in front of you? Why did you reach for that? Even if it is a Pavlovic reaction, it kills me to think that this thing that I have, this relationship or this like insatiable beast that I keep feeding in order to sustain my career is going to really impact my children. That's just like, for me, kills me.
Yeah, but not enough for you to stop using social media.
Especially right now, because I got to sell the fucking book. Yes. Maybe I can throw my phone out the window.
Yeah, that's so funny. It's so fucking true, though. I mean, who does it? I want to know who feels good after they look at social media, especially if you're on a train and you're just scrolling for a long period of time. Like if you're spending an hour or something doing it, and then all of a sudden you realize that you've been doing it and you don't have any remorse is really where the question lies. Because I feel like that's pretty much where we are in society. Nobody gives a fuck about how shallow or empty it is.
Yes, it's true.
Vapid is really the word, right? You're just like, blah, looking at other people to decide.
Well, what do you think about when the phone tells you? The worst is when the phone says, you've scrolled enough. You've seen all there is to see. There are no more updates. It's like the person at the bar being like, I think you're good. You should leave now.
Yeah, right, right.
It's the worst feeling. I've scrolled too much. My phone is telling me now.
I've never gotten that message. So I think you must.
Well,
I think
you're not at the level.
I think you're advanced. Yeah. Have you ever seen that, Catherine?
I have not, but I have like a limiter.
We're all caught up.
Oh, yeah. My thing, I did once get to the end of Facebook, like back in the day, and I was like, this was a waste of a Friday night. It was a terrible feeling.
It says you're all caught up.
Oh, my God. No, I have like a limiter on there. And I always am like, 15 more minutes, 15 more minutes. The limit does not exist. Give me 15 more.
Oh,
it's
that's
the worst.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
You have a timer on. Okay. That's a good idea.
Doesn't
me.
Do anything.
That I've heard of. I've heard of people having timers.
But you have to have willpower in addition to the timer. And no.
Boy, it's hard. It's so hard.
It's a high pressure situation. The marriage in the book is a big part of it. And I think that mirrors your relationship with Jason a little bit, right? Or a lot. I don't know.
Yeah, I knew when I was writing the book that I didn't want the husband to be Jason. So I was very conscious the whole time that I didn't want to write him just because I have memoirs and I wanted that dynamic to be different. But it does talk about a relationship with, you know, somebody coming into your marriage and kind of pulling you out. And not only have I had that happen, because I do find these mentor figures that come into my life.
Jenny likes to like fixate on, you know, somebody that she's either met or has dated, someone she's dated or someone, you know, Jason's dated. She gets fixated and she likes to really focus on that person. She's fascinated by that person and she wants to know everything there is to know.
Yeah, well, I just find there's just so much low-hanging fruit there for comedy. I just love it. But no, I also find myself, I'm always finding these mommy figures and I attach and they become mentors. And then all of a sudden I find myself just like kind of serving these narcissists on some level. And there's no greater, when a narcissist shines their light on you, you like, there's no greater high. You just feel so seen. You're like, I am chosen. But when that light goes off, it can be so painful. And I know that in these female relationships, we do sort of date each other. And there are, and I've experienced these relationships that do kind of get toxic and have on occasion pulled me from maybe priorities at home, what have you. And I wanted to really get into that and discuss sort of that dance that we do as women with other women.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's kind of more what, in terms of the marriage, there were definitely fights with Jason and I along the way in regard to how much time I was spending with this one particular person and how my life started to revolve around this person. And so I wanted to really kind of talk about that and just like the pain that comes along with it. Because I think that when you have to end it, it's hard, especially if they, you know, represent your mother on some level. Just being totally candid, you've known me for years, so I can tell you everything.
But also, especially when your husband has to see you mourn a relationship that was only taking away from him, which is, you know, essentially on some level an affair in his mind, you know?
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
It's like watching your wife mourn her ex-lover. Right. You're like, what?
Right.
Why do I have to be privy to this?
Yes. Why do I have to be the shoulder you're crying on?
Yeah, Jason's definitely. We have a similar dynamic with our relationships.
Yes.
You're in charge and I'm in charge. And they're both.
Man. Yes.
They both are total men, but they both like will defer to us on major decisions, right?
Completely. Completely. That's why I feel so good about this relationship for you, because I feel like you're finally with a Jason type. And I like that on you.
Yeah. Like Joe doesn't put up with any of my shit either. I came home Sunday. I flew home Sunday morning from New York. We went shopping and we grabbed some lunch and we were going in to get a Starbucks. And I said, hey, I'm going to just go to this shop. We had like 2 hours together before he had to go to leave for his show. I go, hey, I'm just going to go into this little boutique because I didn't want it to grab some clothes. And I go, I'm just going to go in here while you get a coffee. And he turned around. He looked at me. He goes, no, you're not. We have 2 hours together. Get your fucking ass over here. And I just started laughing because I was like, yeah, he's totally right. Like, that's a fucking dick move. But of course, I'm a dick. So I didn't even think about it, you know?
Kelsey, no, I have the perfect comeback for you. You have to say to him, like, you're the fucking person who made me a shopper.
Yeah. I go, that's what I said. Like, I thought you'd
it's
be happy. Fault. I was shopping. Yeah, right.
Yes.
But I also like that he's just like, no, you're not going there. Don't even
love that.
Yeah, it's hot.
It's hot.
I like that. Yeah.
Yeah, but I think as strong women, you definitely need somebody who can like give you that pushback. My husband and I have a very similar dynamic. And for a long time, I thought like, oh, am I being too bossy? Am I like making all the decisions? And it took like 8 or 9 years before I was like, he actually married me because he wants a bossy woman in his life. Like he wants to make decisions when he wants to, but also like he wants veto power. But if it's like where we're going to dinner, or what we're going to do for the weekend, he's like, just listen, you pick. Like,
Jason claims he wants me to have control. And for instance, we're doing some like redecorating the house and he's like, I don't care. Do whatever you want. Then all of a sudden things appear. He's like, oh no, that sconce won't work. Oh, that, no way. Oh, that looks terrible. He's like, we need more light here. It's like, he has so many fucking opinions. But then, you know, the stuff starts showing up to his house and it just like immediately leaves. He sends it away.
Oh, no.
Yeah, decorating between couples is also a big no-no. That's no fun to do together.
No, I think that's like a full reality show. Just yeah, me and Jason trying to decorate an apartment. Yeah,
just tell him to go away for 3 months while you sort some things out and then get back to him.
Yeah, he'll come back to like the finished product. It'll be beautiful.
Yeah.
And I love it.
Well, that's what he's afraid of. He's like, you're going to give away everything. Because I do tend to just like ship his things out.
Well, you're a woman. And Jason's technically a man. Okay, so we're going to take some callers, Jenny. We're going to have some people write in, some people call in, you'll see. And we're just giving them real advice.
Okay, great.
Yeah, before we get to that, we will take a quick break and be back with Jenny Mullen and Chelsea.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X. We just dropped our Pride 24 collection. Queer founded, queer run, and creating size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. So you feel comfortable in your own skin. Visit TomboyX.com to shop.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabrielle Collins, and this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Colin Bridgerton has returned from his travels abroad. Is betrothal written in the stars for the eligible bachelor? Meanwhile, the ton is reverberating with speculation of who holds Lady Whistledown's pen. We're discussing it all. I sit down with Nicola Coughlan, Luke Newton, Shonda Rhimes, and more to offer an exclusive peek behind the scenes of each episode of the new season. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then, fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season 1, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season 1, like my producer, Anna.
Oh my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season 2 of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing
right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back with Jenny Mullen and Chelsea and Catherine.
Hi. Well, our first email today comes from Kristen. She says, "Dear Chelsea, I have a bit of an unusual question for you. I've been together with my husband for 4 years now. Over the years, I've noticed that he farts really often and they're always loud, but never stinky. We became vegan a year and a half ago, and I was
big mistake.
I was hoping that taking dairy out of our diet would make his gas better, but it stayed the same. It's hard to ignore his farts because they are so loud, and they're really starting to annoy me. I've asked him to walk out of the room to fart, but he thinks that's too much effort. What do you think I should do? Sincerely, Kristen."
Oh, wow. Way to start off the episode. Jenny knows more about dieting and what causes farting than I do, probably, because she has all these issues and she has to eat very clean. So, yeah. Jenny, what do you have to say about the fart on the subject of farting?
I would say that I agree. Maybe he should leave the room if it's bothering you, if it's starting to become like an issue in the relationship. But I would also ask what he's being fed, making him fart all the time. I feel like that he could do some simple changes, maybe some food combining, which basically food combining, it's like you don't eat your grains and your meats together. So if you have a grain and you want to do starchy vegetables with that, fine. So have that. You have to wait 3 to 4 hours then if you're going to introduce an animal protein, or have the animal protein, but you can't choose something from every category and have it at once. That's just creating a terrible situation for you.
Also, like if you're eating dairy, you might be lactose intolerant without knowing it. You might be allergic to gluten. Yes. You might have all these food allergies. So A, go get his food allergies tested so you could just eliminate. Sometimes it just takes eliminating one thing.
Right.
And you don't even have to eliminate it forever sometimes. You can reintroduce it after the fact. And the other thing is, I don't know what you want to do about him farting and leaving the room. I mean, the whole farting thing seems like a real bummer. So I would immediately get to the root of the problem rather than worrying about if he should leave the room or not. And if he's farting while he's sleeping, what's he going to get up in the middle of the night and walk out? And then, I mean, that doesn't make any sense either. That actually
sounds... And do you think maybe he's enjoying the farting? Because I think Jason really relishes a good fart. He wants to create a scene with it. He likes the drama that comes with it.
Yeah. So, I mean, what was her name? What was our writer?
Kristen.
Yeah. So get to the root of the matter. Otherwise, you're just putting a Band-Aid on it and it's not going to be gone anyway, whether he leaves the room or not. Just find out what the problem is, because farting is gross. You don't want to be doing that on the constant. It takes away from the special moments that Jenny's talking about with Jason. Like when you have it.
Yeah, he's farting in the other room right now.
But when you have it happen once in a while, it's more of an event than a recurrence.
Right. It can be a special moment. Yeah, I think the food issue is really not where I expected this to go, but...
My youngest son, we go to restaurants, then I had to tell him, I said, "You can't scream, I farted," out loud. And so now he goes, "Mommy, I farted," but I'm not going to say, "I farted!" Like, oh my God. He doesn't quite understand. But yeah, it is like an announcement in my house. I live with 3 boys.
Yes. Yeah. It's a whole entertaining thing in your house.
Yes.
Well, Kristen, have his allergies checked and get back to us. Let us know how it goes for you.
Yeah, or don't get back to us.
Right. Well, our next email comes from Jessica. She is in Australia, so she's on an even later time zone than you are, Jenny. She says, "Dear Chelsea, years ago, when I was 17, I dumped my girlfriend of a year. And then 1 month later, she started dating my mom. Fucking lesbians. 2 years later, they got married.
Ew.
And then shortly after, divorced. Surprise, surprise.
This is a Jenny Mullen special.
Oh my God. Yeah, that's like meaty. I'd be writing all about that.
Yes. That's the short version. The result of this is I really struggle to open up to people about it without talking about it as a joke. This has obviously created a lot of tension towards my mom and has kept me from being as close to my family as I'd like to be, even though we now joke about the whole situation. I'm a writer and a poet and am in university to hopefully publish a poetry book. I'm nervous, but know I can be successful if I open up. I'm currently working on writing a one-woman show. How do I share my truest, realest writing with the world without being terrified of the repercussions and alienating my entire family?" Jessica.
Hi, Jessica.
Hello.
This is Jenny. Jenny's our special guest today.
Hi.
And this is Catherine.
Hello. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Well, Jenny has written about some very personal situations, so I thought that she would be great to help us with this issue.
Yeah, so you are contemplating basically telling your story, which is totally your right, right?
Right.
It is. I mean, my boyfriend's dealing with this, I've done this, and Jenny's done this in all different sorts of ways. But I think the bottom line is that everyone has a right to tell their version of their story. Jenny, why don't you take it from here?
Yes, I agree. I feel like if your mom, and no offense to your mom, but if that she felt comfortable enough to be with your ex-girlfriend and marry her, then she deserves, can't think of a better word, but I think she kind of deserves you to be open and honest with your story. And you have a right to tell your truth and your side of things. I mean, you know, my parents definitely didn't love hearing all of the things I had to say about my childhood. But on some level, because they're both kind of narcissists, they were thrilled. My mom now, when she meets people, she'll be like, "Don't believe everything you hear." My mom, she like loves it. She like loves that she comes off like this crazy, fun, eccentric person that you'd love to have at a dinner party. And it's never as bad as you think. I feel like when you're writing the book, you always think, oh fuck, these people are going to kill me. Everybody's gonna hate me. I'm going to alienate this person and this person. But once it's in the world, it's funny. It doesn't ever have the impact you really think. And I think you should just kind of embrace it as being your truth. As long as you're self-deprecating and really get into your feelings on the subject, you have every right to. And I think that your family should be proud of you for taking that jump and risk.
Yeah, well, thank you. My mom is like classically a narcissist. So
then she'll love it. She'll be psyched to writing them. Trust me.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like she doesn't really pay attention to anything I do unless she can brag about it. So
then she'll love it. You have a book. Then she won't look any closer than that. She's going to be psyched. My daughter has a book. That's it.
Okay. Well, that makes me feel a little bit better.
Yeah, but on a more, this really has nothing to do with anything I'm about to say, but on a more personal note, just out of curiosity, how long were you dating this woman when you dated her?
So I was like 16 to 17. And she was about 7 years older than me.
Uh-huh.
Looking back is obviously gross.
Yeah.
And then my mom was 11 years older than her. So yeah, it's gross. It's all gross.
It's so gross. Do you hang out with them?
No, they're divorced now.
Oh.
There's no big surprise.
Oh, yeah. That's a good thing to mention.
Yeah.
For any other mothers out there who are listening to this thinking about hitting on their daughter's ex-girlfriend.
Please do not.
Fuck. People are so fucked up.
So fucked up. So, yeah, that's kind of, they've broken up and we were really close for a little while, but then I stopped giving her what she needed, which was some healing from her divorce. But I never got that back from her for what happened with everything.
Has she never apologized or said she regretted it?
Nah, not once. They're still friends, I think.
And when they were together, did you spend time with them?
Yeah, we did, because my sister had a baby yesterday, so I have to go and see my mom tomorrow.
Oh, well, I'd say congratulations, but I guess not.
But that's kind of the main reason I keep a relationship with her, is obviously for my siblings and my nieces and nephews. So,
well, that's big of you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I think you have to get into the relationship with your mom. I mean, that seems like a bigger story than even just this woman. I think that you could fill a whole book just with stories probably with her. And I think that you're going to help a lot of people. I think that when people, you know, that is such a common dynamic, not necessarily stealing somebody's person and marrying them. Although I do know somebody who has a baby with one of their kids' ex-boyfriends, girlfriends. But I think that I think it's a story that needs to be told. And I think it'll feel really cathartic for you to just get it on paper.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping. I just want to like get it out.
She's never going to give you what you want. I hate to tell you this, but like, I'm still waiting for my parents' approval. It doesn't come. So you have to write it.
Okay, that makes me feel a lot better. Thank you.
I'm excited for you.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm just scared. But my siblings know what she's like. And like, everyone kind of knows, like everyone knows what the situation is, but everyone's just really nice to each other. So.
No, it will set you free. I think you have to do it.
Okay, I hope so. Thank you.
Did you say you wanted to put this up as a one woman show too? Or as a...
Yeah, I'm hoping to make it a fringe show.
Yeah, that's a good idea too. Yeah, I think it'll be great for you. And everyone's telling their story. That's what everyone's doing as an artist. So it's your story. You have every right to it. It happened to you. You were like a central character in the story. So yeah, it's going to be awesome for you to do that and experience it. And all your siblings are probably going to just love seeing it put up like that. You know, like, oh, finally, this is what we all experienced. And someone has the guts to do it and say it.
Oh my God, thank you so much. I feel so validated.
Oh, well, great. Well, good luck. Let us know what happens. Keep us posted.
All right, I will do. Thank you so much, Chelsea.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Nice to meet you guys.
Bye, Jessica.
Nice to see ya.
Whoopsie doodle. That is a fucked up situation. Right? I mean, I suppose you would have to be a narcissist to fuck your daughter's girlfriend.
Yeah.
And also, that relationship was illegal.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
I'm like, yeah, what's the age of consent in
Australia? Not that I can say anything.
Math, yeah.
I also had an illegal relationship when I was younger, underage. But at the time, you know, I thought.
At the time, you just think like, oh, this older guy, like they're interested in me. And then later you're like, wow, that was so gross.
But even me,
aren't you just like, what's wrong with that guy? You're like, yes. He could only impress somebody who was 17. What a loser.
I know.
Well, nobody his own age couldn't even give him the time of day. I'm sure that's why.
No, I definitely would feel responsible for my relationship with an older man because I know that no man has any right to be around a girl that's under 18 years old now. At that time, I believe I seduced him. I convinced him.
I believe that.
I convinced him to be with me. I convinced him, even though he had reservations about my age, I was like, no, you don't understand. Like, I made this guy have a relationship with me and he had no chance to not have one.
Oh my God.
So I don't want to lay the blame where it's undue. But yeah, now we know that men aren't even allowed to think about that. Right. And then when you think about it, you're like, yeah, what are you thinking? It doesn't matter how mature or cool you are. But on the subject, though, because this comes up a lot, talking about our stories and how you shroud certain people, because it's like you have your right to your own family. I mean, they can sue you potentially if you disclose their information without them signing something and using their real names. Yes, they can sue you.
Is that true? Because my second book, I started off saying, you know, all the people's names have been changed, characters, blah, 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 except my mom. Her name's Peggy. I don't know.
Well, thankfully she didn't want to sue you.
Well, no, your mom's not going to sue you, though. Like, I mean, or you probably had her sign something.
Perhaps.
I'm sure you did.
Maybe they did.
Maybe you should send her a text right now and be like, I need you to sign this. Send her, what's that thing?
A release.
No, what are those forms that you can sign digitally now? That they
DocuSign?
DocuSign. I'm going to fucking DocuSign it.
Exactly.
Just go quickly. Or a video recording saying, I give you the right and allowance to use my name and likeness in your book and just put it on. Yeah, that's funny. Because in my first books, like I gave my brothers and sisters different names and then... Yeah. It was like
why was I doing that? Because it's so easy to find out what their names are. So for like the second book on, I just started using their real names. And
no, I love that about your books. The names literally just changed. Like, she's like, oh, I'm too lazy to keep finding.
I'm like, let me just tell you their real names. It's not like it's a secret. It's so easy to look up. And half the time I'm doing things with them. So
Right.
Yeah.
No, I love that.
But I do know when you're talking about someone or you're telling a real story about someone, especially if they're of note, you have to change their name, likeness, occupation, all of the things that could connect a stranger to who they are.
Yes, yes, yes.
Which is totally reasonable.
Which is reasonable.
We are going to take a quick break so you can hear an ad and then we'll be right back.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X, celebrating Pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women, creating sustainable size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection, obsessively fit tested for all day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit TomboyX.com.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabrielle Collins, and this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Colin Bridgerton has returned from his travels abroad. Is betrothal written in the stars for the eligible bachelor? Meanwhile, the ton is reverberating with speculation of who holds Lady Whistledown's pen. We're discussing it all. I sit down with Nicola Coughlan, Luke Newton, Shonda Rhimes, and more to offer an exclusive peek behind the scenes of each episode of the new season. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then, fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season 1, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season 1, like my producer, Anna.
Oh my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season 2 of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now? Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes. that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Our next question comes from Liza. She's 38, living in New York, and she's a photographer. Dear Chelsea, I spent most of my mid-20s to mid-30s building a photography career that I became very proud of. I was in LA for 10 years, where I met my husband, and by the end of my time there, I was shooting for clients like Betsy Johnson and Elle Magazine. Given that I was always the kid with no direction growing up, I was beyond proud of myself. We left LA in 2019 for New York because my husband got a job, and while it seems like the transition would be an easy one from one big city to the next, my photography career plummeted. Once COVID hit, we landed in the Hudson Valley, a place I love, but also a place where I feel more lost than ever. The career I had in LA is realistically not feasible where I am unless I want to spend lots of time traveling, which no longer sounds ideal. So my question for you is, what advice do you have for someone who found their passion and once thrived in their life, but now lives a completely different lifestyle without a clue as to where to pivot next? I'm okay with a career shift, but I don't know where to begin or what I'd even do, and I definitely don't have the hustle energy I had in my 20s. Any advice would be so helpful. Liza.
Hi, Liza.
Hi.
Hi, how are you? This is Jenny, our guest today.
Hi.
And this is Catherine, who you've met, I'm assuming.
Hi.
Hello.
So you're in the Hudson Valley.
Yes.
And there's no opportunity there for you to apply your photography up there to do anything with it?
I mean, it's not the same. Like, I'm sure they do shoots up here for all sorts of things. I just don't have the connections that I had in LA. And I just feel kind of stuck because I'm up here. Like, my husband's working and I'm just sort of sitting here at a computer every day.
Mm-hmm. And what were you shooting? What kind of photography were you doing?
So I was working a lot with modeling agencies, doing advertising, editorial lookbooks for fashion brands.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like you can still do all of that there. I mean, you're not that far from New York City. I mean, that's not an unreasonable commute. It's not like flying to Los Angeles. You just have to do networking on that end. I mean, they are doing shoots in Hudson Valley all the time. I mean, you see that in magazines, Town and Country. You see it with people's homes up there. Architectural Digest does stuff up there. I mean, there's room for you to maneuver and like figure out some kind of line of communication for opportunities that are coming up there to shoot, and also take advantage of the fact that you're so close to New York City. I don't think you have to change careers.
Yeah, I mean, it was tough when I moved because so my work in LA was so, I'd sort of carved out a niche for myself where everything was like blue skies and palm trees. And that's what I shot. Like, I shot outdoor sunshine. I wasn't like a studio photographer. So when I came to New York, I think I was just sort of blissfully naive, thinking that things would carry over. And we moved in the dead of winter and I was like, oh shit, like I can't do what I did in LA, in New York. And I mean, like, you're completely right about the networking thing. I'm just really bad at that. And I feel like I spent 13 years doing it in LA that I'm just tight. Like, I had all my connections there.
Yeah, but I think you need to just get good at it. These are all excuses. You can do all of these things. You just don't feel like doing it. And just because Hudson Valley looks the way it does in the winter, it doesn't look like that in the summer or the spring or the fall. It's like a complete opposite of what you were shooting in LA. It's rustic. It's woods. It's greenery. It's more beautiful, I would argue. So you can create all of these opportunities. I understand what you mean about not having the ambition you did when you were 20s. I can completely relate to that. But there's times to hustle, and this is one of them. And so thinking about changing careers seems like a lot bigger burden than just hustling for like a good 6 months and making the connections you need to make to sustain a career that can then last 20 plus years.
Right. No, that's a very good point.
Do you still have the passion for photography that you did?
I do, but I like, there is a part of me that wonders if the hustle isn't in me, then maybe that says it all. And that's what sort of scares me too. Cause I'm like, well, maybe I'm ready for a shift, but I have no idea what that shift would be. Cause I've basically gotten good at something for 10 years. And before that I was in the service industry, and I the skills that I have are very specific.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jenny, what do you think?
Well, I think that there are either two options. One, if you think that it might not be what's right for you, and maybe this is what you should do regardless, is I think that you need to take the time and not guilt yourself about needing to throw yourself into a career again. Think, I'm very competitive with my husband. So like, understand when your husband's working, you're like, I'm sitting here at home, I'm not doing anything. And you start to spin, and then you start to shame yourself, and you just get into this like negative headspace. I think you need to rewrite that narrative for yourself and say, I'm giving myself time because I don't want to jump into a career if I'm already burnt out on it. Like, what is the point of even starting something up if I'm not going to find joy from it? So I think you need to say, allow yourself the time to really sit there and decide, is this what I want to do next? And explore some other options before you make a move in any direction. And if it is still photography, I think your best bet, and this is like antithetical to what my book is about, but I think you need to get online. I think you need to start shooting outside. And I think you need to start posting on TikTok and Instagram and show people what you can do. I think that is I hate networking in person. I much prefer just like, you know, posting something and waiting to see who sees it. It's so much easier than going out and having to have a billion drinks with somebody or a billion different people and trying to just like get in and social climate or whatever you have to do. All that bullshit drives me crazy. So I let your work speak for itself if that is what you want to do. But first, give yourself the time to really marinate and think about, what is the next step for me? What do the next 10 years of my life look like?
Yeah.
You're allowed that. You've hustled. You've worked your ass off.
Yeah. And I think that's a good point, that networking post-COVID looks a little bit different than it did pre-COVID, where it's just like, go to parties, put in FaceTime, all exactly. This garbage. Right. And like, now it's very different. It's online, and agreed. Instagram and TikTok, I feel like Instagram sort of punishes new creators, but go on TikTok. Obviously for photography, it's a little bit different, but
people will come to you. If they see you can shoot, they're like all over you.
Yeah.
Especially all these like fashion influencers. They're like, would you like some more experience for your book? And maybe you're thinking, not really, bitch, why don't you pay me? But you know, maybe you do want to just have that person make an appearance and repost you. Sometimes that, you know, begets more work.
And also in terms of networking, it's like just also reaching out to the contacts that you do have from all of your experience thus far, whether it's in LA or not. People are always working in New York and London and LA and Paris. So like just reminding people, oh, hey, I moved to Hudson Valley. If anything comes across you, just keep those conversations going, because you never know what's going to drop into your lap that way. And just by applying any sort of hustle to any situation, you're going to find out what you're going to want to do if it isn't photography.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's a very good point. Anything creative that you can do, even if it feels sort of disjointed from what you've done in the past, is going to get those creative juices flowing. I mean, that's really why I landed in podcasting, because I was like dipping my toe in this water. I was writing. I was doing voiceover. I was doing all these different random things. And then I started my first podcast. And that's sort of like it snowballed. And I found myself being so creatively fulfilled by it that, you know, some of the other things that I had been really passionate about before fell away, but I was able to use the skills I learned doing them in podcasting.
Right. Yeah, that's a really good point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It finds you. I think if you put that energy out there, it finds you.
Yeah. And I've connected with, actually have people downstairs that we're doing a creative shoot today.
Amazing.
She's like, I have a job right now.
She's like, I'm actually working as a photographer right now, so I don't even know what this call is about.
Well, no, it's a creative shoot, but like just to meet, like I've connected with them randomly online. They're makeup artists here and they seem amazing. The model came up from New York. So Chelsea, thank you. Thank you to all of you, but like, I do feel like sometimes it's difficult when you're just like sitting by yourself. And like you said, you get in your head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've been where I'm just like sitting and like, I want to create and I want to do stuff and I really want to work. I just don't know what to do. It's like, there's so many options that I just don't.
Yeah. But you do know, just start with the first thing, you know, start with the Instagram, the TikTok. If that seems too big, send a couple emails to people you've worked with to just say where you're moving and be proactive. Don't be defeatist. That energy turns into negativity. And then you're just sitting there having a pity party for yourself, which is how you entered this call. So get your shit together. And go get us a good update and follow back up with us and give us some good news, please.
No, I needed that. Thank you.
Okay. See you later. Thanks for calling.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
I had a mentor who
told you to go get your shit together.
Yes. Basically, she was like, move to a coast. You don't belong in Chicago.
Oh, really?
She was like, go where the creatives are.
Find a coast.
Yes. But no, she called it, and especially for Liza, who says she had no direction growing up, and obviously she's a creative, but this mentor, Debbie Phillips, called it stomping your perimeter. What that means is like all these random jobs or experiences in your life eventually go into what becomes your dream job. And
yeah, for sure.
They all get used. They all get used. And then eventually, you know, you might have a new dream job that uses your skills you got from your first dream job. But she'll get there. She just needs to keep those juices flowing.
Yes. Yeah. But I know that feeling where you're just like, oh my God, it feels like this just like insurmountable thing.
Yeah. And also just spending that kind of time alone, what that does to your psyche. Like you could just tell by her whole demeanor that she's just been alone too long. She's just in her head and like,
yeah.
Cause that feeling sucks. You know, that's when you really need an Adderall, but we can't prescribe medication cause we're not doctors, and Adderall is not something that I would prescribe if I were a doctor, even though I've had some good times on Adderall.
Well, our next question comes from Jess. Jess says, "Dear Chelsea, I'm about to turn 37 and have been married for 2 years. After suffering 2 miscarriages in 9 months, we decided to try IVF. It's been a brutal past 2 months, to put it lightly. The reason I'm writing this is that this whole pregnancy loss and infertility process has given me zero interest in sex. I jokingly refer to myself as a lab rat these days, with all the doctor's appointments, tests, surgeries, shots, etc. Lately, I view my body in a strictly medical fashion. I don't feel sexy or desire any pleasure physically. We probably have sex about once a month. My husband has been wonderful about it, but I can't help but to feel terribly guilty, like I'm failing him as a wife. I know sex is such an important component to marriage, and I don't want to deprive my husband, especially so early on into marriage. While I'm super attracted to my husband and love him to death, I just have no desire these days. So I guess my question is, should I put in more of an effort and just do it? Or is it okay to take this time during this difficult journey to use my body how I feel most comfortable, which is not having sex? Thanks, Jess."
Jenny, you didn't have to do in vitro, right?
No, I wouldn't have probably had kids, because I think that Jason would have done in vitro. He was desperate to have children. His biological clock was drinking, and we needed to like have a baby to make him happy. And I'm so glad we did, but he really had to force me off that ledge. Like I was white knuckling it to the bitter end. I was just so afraid to be a mom. But no, we didn't do IVF, but I know a lot of friends that have been through it, and it's brutal. It's just like, oh my God, the emotional journey is insane.
And the thing is, it's not permanent, but it is annoying. But it's like, that's how people feel when they do IVF. Overwhelmingly, that's the consensus, that you don't want to have sex. So I think that is your right to not want to have sex during this time, and to explain that. I think you said it nicely, like using your body for the purposes of getting pregnant and getting healthy and having a successful pregnancy. Could you try more? I mean, that's up to you. Like, if you want to, yeah, sure, but you don't have to. And just remind yourself, like, it's not going to be like this. It does take a toll on the marriage, because men need to fuck. They're moody, and that is what helps their mood. Unfortunately, it's as basic as that.
Is that true, guys? Then I should be having more sex, too, because I don't even put an effort in.
I think that men really appreciate having sex. Like, it helps. I think it helps them calm down.
Do you think it helps you calm down? Do I need to be having more sex with you? Because like she's saying we're at IVF, but I'm still having sex once a month. And I'm thinking, that's fucking great. That seems like a lot.
No, Jenny, once a month is not good if you're not going through IVF. Poor Jason. Am I going to have to fuck Jason again?
Yes, I think it's about time.
Okay, let me talk to Joe about that.
I love Joe, but like he is sort of interfering with that little dynamic.
Yeah, Joe requires 120% of my time. But anyway, back to the person who actually called in for some serious advice. That's my advice, is everything I just said. You know, absolutely take this time. If that's what you need, then that is your right.
Yes, and I think that you should be having less sex because I think you're going through a lot. You don't even need to put out once a month.
Yeah. And like there are other things you can do to satisfy his needs without him having to like get all up in your space.
Watch some porn.
Exactly. Or like help, you know, give him a hand, whatever
else
you need to do.
You're about to give him a fucking child. He needs to calm down on the sex.
Yes. I find a hand job to be even sillier than a blowjob.
It is silly.
A hand job is almost just like you're just jerking someone off. There's something very... I don't think I've ever given a hand.
I can't give a hand job. Like, it wouldn't, like, I don't know what would happen.
I know, like, that just seems like a long way to go. Like, there's so many more effective ways to make that happen. Like, a hand job? Who has time for that? It's so silly.
You can just read a book while you're doing it. It's very easy.
Yeah.
A long way to go.
It is. Yeah. Anyway, so whatever you do, don't give a hand job.
Yeah. Stay away from me.
That's the title of this episode.
Yes. Well, Jess, let us know how it goes. And also, like, get yourself a massage from someone who's not trying to have sex with you so you can, like, feel good about your body.
Yeah. Good. Get that good one, Catherine. Yeah.
So our last little question here, and this is a quickie, is, dear Chelsea, first, I want to say you are amazing. I'm a huge fan and really appreciate all that you do. Just wanted to ask for book recommendations. I know you're an avid reader and was just wondering if you knew of any good reads for shifting one's mindset to more positive thoughts and gaining self-confidence. Also, if you have any recommendations on fiction books or a series you really like, I would definitely appreciate it. Thanks, Chelsea from Virginia.
Oh, I'm reading this book, Between Two Kingdoms, but it's not necessarily upbeat, but it will make you grateful for your own life and existence, because this is a story about a woman who gets diagnosed with this blood cancer when she's 22 and then everything that happens after. And it's brutal, like in terms of what you realize like the human body can endure, but it's really also really well written. It's called Between Two Kingdoms. It's a great book. It actually really, I read it this weekend and I came away feeling very grateful and optimistic. So that's a good way to make yourself feel good and grateful for all the things that you have and don't have to experience. And it's an eye opener. But in terms of what's a good fiction book, I always recommend Circe. That by Madeline Miller, that's a good fictional book. And that takes you to another place and it's just like magic land. And usually I don't like that kind of shit, but I do love that book. Jenny, have you read any good fiction lately?
I read this book. It's called Mouth to Mouth. And it was really fun. I loved it because I don't want to give it away, but it's these two guys. They meet up in an airport. They haven't seen each other since they went to school together when they were younger. And just the story that sort of unfolds. The ending is killer. I really loved it. It was a great read. So different. It really captured me. I also just read the new Rebecca Searle book recently, One Italian Summer, which is a great summer beach read.
And then don't forget to order City of Likes, which is coming out June 14th, but you can pre-order it now on Amazon. City of Likes by Jenny Molin.
It's better than all of these books.
Yeah, so just order that.
No, and then as far as like a self-help or like a, you know, really working on yourself type book, I always come back to The Untethered Soul. Whenever I'm having a panic attack or I'm feeling scared that something's going awry or I'm going to die, I read The Untethered Soul. And chapter 2, mind-blowing. I love chapter 2 of that book. It's the best chapter. But that's a great one.
All right. Well, that's a good list of recommendations. We've talked about that book before.
Yeah. Start there. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be back with Jenny and Chelsea.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X, celebrating pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women, creating sustainable size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection. Obsessively fit tested for all day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit tomboyx.com.
A new season of Bridgerton is here.
and with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabrielle Collins, and this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Colin Bridgerton has returned from his travels abroad. Is betrothal written in the stars for the eligible bachelor? Meanwhile, the ton is reverberating with speculation of who holds Lady Whistledown's pen. We're discussing it all. I sit down with Nicola Coughlin, Luke Newton, Shonda Rhimes, and more to offer an exclusive peek behind the scenes of each episode of the new season. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then, fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season 1, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season 1, like my producer, Anna.
Oh my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season 2 of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now? Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back.
Jenny, do you have any advice you'd like to get from Chelsea?
Yeah, I'm curious, as somebody who is touring with comedy, who's out there telling jokes in this post-COVID world, post-Trumpian era, I'm afraid to be on Twitter these days. And I'm just so much more self-conscious about the things that I'll joke about publicly. I'm wondering, has it changed your comedy? And like, what are your thoughts on that? What would you advise people who are out there running off at the mouth?
I think it's made me sharper and more clever. Like, I think my stand-up is stronger than it ever has been because of the very essence of being mindful of others. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And not going for the cheap joke or the easy joke or the low-hanging fruit, actually being sharp about what you're going to talk about and what your point of view about it is. Because there's still plenty to make fun of. All we have to do is not be sexist and racist. You know what I mean? That's not a tall order, especially for so many comics. Like, that's why I keep having these conversations about reviving Chelsea Lately into Chelsea Later. Because I've seen so many comics on the road now. It's like, this isn't a hard time to be funny or be yourself. There's just parameters that have been set that should have been set, frankly, a long time ago. So I think you're going to enjoy it. It's as a creative, all you ever want to do is have more clarity and be sharper.
And what about politically? Do you avoid or do you go straight for the jugular?
Well, with politics, I think I had so much, I didn't do a lot of good, I don't think, by being so politically out there. Like, people, it was very divisive because of my personality. I engage much more on a different decibel, is what I've learned about my own political activism. My opinions are, of course, the same and hopefully, you know, changing as time goes on all the time. But I wasn't making the kind of traction and the kind of things happen that I wanted to. And I realized there's a different volume associated with every part of what you do. And you can be much more effective if you pay attention to that.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And on that upbeat note, I am going to go in the bathroom and finger blast myself.
Chelsea, is that a hand job?
Talk about low-hanging fruit. Jenny, I love you so much. Thank you so much for being here today. I'm so excited for your book, everybody. Please grab a copy, City of Likes, and let us know. Yeah, start book clubs and tag us and tag Jenny.
That's great.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks,
oh, my God.
Jenny.
Love it.
This was so fun.
I'll see you guys soon.
Tell Jason I said to fuck off, okay?
Okay, tell Joe the next time we're getting together, the next look we're going to go for is like all sailor. We already did Army Men.
Okay.
And next we're gonna be all
he
sailors.
Has some good stuff from that Martha's Vineyard brand. What's it called with the whale
oh.
on
oh,
it?
Oh, Vineyard Vines.
Vineyard Vines. He's got a great outfit. I already have his outfit checked out. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Okay. No problem.
I'll get some matching boot shoes.
Okay. Thanks.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
So if you'd like to ask Chelsea a question, email us at dearchelseaproject@gmail.com.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results, made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional-grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb, available at conairgirlbomb.com or a retailer near you.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between Lisa and West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is expertly crafted from natural latex, natural wool, and certified safe foams to elevate your sleep sanctuary and support a greener tomorrow. Plus, every purchase helps fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Visit lisa.com/Chelsea to learn more. That's LEESA.com/Chelsea. Probiotics can be an important part of your daily routine, and they certainly are a part of mine, but sometimes they are a hassle to take. Nature's Way Women's Probiotic Pearls are just what they sound like, adorable little pearls that couldn't be easier to take. They're tiny, but still pack a punch, supporting both digestive and vaginal health. To learn more, visit naturesway.com/pearls and use code Chelsea10 at checkout for 10% off any Pearls probiotics. Terms and conditions apply, valid through July 31st. Hi, everyone. Chelsea here. We should be talking much more about women's hair loss. There are many reasons that hair loss can happen in women, from a number of medical conditions like anemia all the way to transitions like pregnancy or menopause. And that's where Zion Health comes in. They are hair loss experts who make getting treatment easy and accessible with both medicated and non-medicated options available. Go to xyonhealth.com to get started.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X, celebrating pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women, creating sustainable size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection, obsessively fit tested for all day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit TomboyX.com.